Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Happy New Year, everybody. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, with my my trusty sidekick and co-host, Kirsten Milliken. Kirsten, how you doing?
Happy New Year. I am doing great, Jeff. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. Everybody, this is Attention Talk Radio, and tonight is January the 2nd, year 2013. Our topic tonight is ADHD. How do kids, or how do your, I can't even read. How do
want me to say it?
Kids who don't think. And I got two of those myself, everybody out there. That's our topic, and with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Wendy Rice. And before we get to some stuff, you know, I want to take this opportunity real quick, Kirsten. Number one, to thank our listeners out there. Kirsten, I was doing a little bit of research before this happened. You know, before a year ago, I guess on New Year's Eve, if you would have said that we would have had 2.5 times more show downloads in the year 2012, I would have said that you were crazy. But in fact, that's actually what we had. And I'm very, very excited about the response to people, and want everybody to know that, you know, we do this as a service to everyone out there with ADHD. And it's not, if it wasn't for all of our listeners out there that made this thing possible, we wouldn't really kind of be here. We wouldn't be here without our sponsors. So just a round of applause and thanking all of our listeners out there, because it's been a great year. Also, on top of that, I also want to welcome a brand new sponsor called Hey You ADHD, which is very fascinating. We're actually going to have some representatives on the company, and they have a audio task completion thing. It's basically their music that you play that help kids enjoy routines and stuff like that. So we're going to do a little bit more of that next week. You'll actually hear the commercial a little bit later on, but we want to thank them for kind of coming on board, because we're really excited about them and their support, and we're really excited about the prospects of what Attention Talk Radio is going to do in the upcoming year, along with Attention Talk News, which is the our online newspaper that Kirsten heads up, and Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station. And everybody, just so you know, you can access both of those shows by going to attentiontalknews.com or attentiontalkvideo.com. Kirsten, we got an issue coming out, I guess, Monday, right, on Attention Talk News?
On the 7th, we sure do. Twice a month it comes out. So, yep, this coming week, that'll be coming out. And we've got one of the videos with you and Russ Ramsey on there, as well as a video actually to kind of get people's attention in another way. That'll be a little bit of fun.
That's an awareness test video, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't give it away. So it'll be a lot of fun. So if you're interested in seeing what's coming on to Attention Talk News, definitely go to the webpage or go to Facebook and click to subscribe, and that comes out twice a month.
That's awesome. Another thing I want to announce real quick is, you know, we're just right off the heels of the CHAD conference, which was in San Francisco. It was their 25th anniversary, and it's not too early to start thinking about next year's conference, which is going to be in the Washington, D.C. area. I think it's in the middle of November. You can find out more information on that. Go to chadd.org. And also, CHAD's getting ready to redo their website and, I guess, launch a YouTube channel. I don't know where it is, but we did some interviews out in San Francisco with some guests and stuff like that that I think they're going to be posting on their website. So we're kind of excited about that, so be watching for that. Other than that, just a reminder to everybody, you can really participate in everything and get all the latest releases of our shows at our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/attentiontalkradio, and we're posting when our newsletter goes out, when Attention Talk videos go out, when the radio show's kind of going like tonight. And so that's a real good place where you can write on our wall, you can actually access shows there, and there's actually a couple tabs if you know how to use the tab bars to actually listen to it. So with that, Kirsten, I think we need to get into the meat of the show. What do you think?
We do. I can't wait to talk about this. I always can't wait to talk about whatever we're talking about. I've been thinking about it, waiting for the show.
Well, I got to tell you, before we introduce our guest, to warm up for this show, I actually went online, and Bill Cosby's got a bit called Brain Damage. And in that bit, he talks about his kids when they were little and kind of coming in. You'd ask them a question, they'd go, "I don't know," which was the common response. And tonight we're going to talk about kids when they have the "I don't know" and kind of what Wendy does. So I'm kind of jazzed up for it. And everybody, if you're listening to this in our archives, you hit pause, go to YouTube and search for Bill Cosby brain damage, and you can kind of get a little sense of the other side of this first before you get into it. So with that, Kirsten, can you introduce our guest?
I will, Jeff. So Wendy Rice is a licensed psychologist and owner of Rice Psychology Group. She's an author, a speaker, and a therapist who specializes in the treatment of child, adolescent, and adult ADHD. She offers counseling to families and individuals with depression, bipolar disorder, and a lot of other issues that are related to or separate from ADHD. And her practice is in Tampa, Florida. Tonight she, as you said, is going to be talking to us about how do you help kids who do not think. So welcome to the show, Dr. Rice.
Thank you for having me.
You, Wendy, this is I kind of teed this up with, you know, the "I don't know," because the title is, you know, Kids Who Don't Think. And I want to kind of pause for a little bit, and Kirsten, it's going to happen real early so I can get it over with. In preparing for this, you and I talked a little bit about this topic to kind of prepare, and I can't help but kind of going back again, as usual, to this interview I did with Dr. Barkley back in March on his new executive function deficit disorder construct. And in that interview, he talked about the brain kind of being, think of it as like a two-layer system. There's the automatic system, which just reacts, and the executive functioning brain that has to override that automatic system. And I'm throwing this out there because I think, Dr. Rice, that is a great metaphor to kind of put into the context of what we're going to talk about tonight and what you do, because a lot of times you'll go ask a teenager and they give the automatic response, the easy one, "I don't know." And a lot of things that you do, I think, really kind of help them engage the executive functioning brain to override that "I don't know" response to go, kind of go a little bit deeper. So I guess just to kind of begin things a little bit, can you just describe the space, how it kind of came out, and give your thoughts, and we'll get into the details?
Sure. Well, first of all, I wanted to say that I did listen to that Russell Barkley interview that you did with him, and it was just wonderful. I think I listened to it two or three times to get all of the gems that he had to share. Kids, especially kids with ADHD, tend to be fairly reactive in their environments, and they just kind of go along, and they don't spend a lot of time reflecting or monitoring their own behavior. And part of that is that the executive system, which is, if you put your hand on your forehead, it's a part of your brain right behind your hand,
mm-hmm.
And it's responsible for planning and problem-solving and prioritizing and remembering and holding things on your mental desktop and being on time and even cause and effect thinking. And those are areas that are much slower to develop or are pretty impaired in some people with ADHD. And so we call that executive functioning. And so for all teens need a bit of help with cause and effect thinking,
mm-hmm.
and not coming up with the automatic "I don't know" response, which is the easy response.
Mm-hmm.
The kids with ADHD need even more help with that because they often have no idea how one thing led to another or why they acted that way or how they ended up in the trouble that they got in.
Now, you said they have no idea. I'm kind of curious. They have no idea or they don't know how to observe it or how to pay attention to it.
Well, if they don't know how to observe it and they don't know how to pay attention to it, you ask them, and seriously, in the moment when you're talking to them, they have no idea. Because they can't reconstruct it or really put the pieces together. And if you don't know that the thing you said made somebody else mad and that made that person get aggressive toward you,
mm-hmm.
then when you reflect back on that situation, you won't be able to pinpoint the thing that you might have done to make the problem start, if that makes any sense. So they say they don't know, not because they can't remember, but because they're not paying it. I'm getting some feedback.
You okay?
Oh, we lose her.
Wendy?
We've lost her, Jeff.
Uh-oh.
What have you done with her?
I don't know. Well, she lopped off. She's going to dial back in a second. While we're doing that, while she was talking, I actually, Kirsten, I couldn't help but think about, you remember that show that we did, I think it was in August, with Dr. David Now? So how exactly did you do that?
Yes.
That was,
That
was a show that I suspect that you might want to kind of go listen to when this is over with, because in that particular show, and I think we have Wendy back here.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Wendy, we were talking about, as you were kind of teeing this up, we had done a show last July with a Dr. David Now. The topic was, how exactly did you do that? And one of the things about that show was, is like for me, when I'm coaching people and they're on time, like when they, you know, I want to coach them on time management and they'll call me up on time, I'll go, how exactly did you make this call on time? And many of them really, they say, well, I don't know. And we have to, you have to ask them questions for them to begin to learn how to pay attention to what they did right.
Correct.
And we're bringing this up a little bit because I think this show is going to be a lot about that. And I think some of the things that you do that kind of help these adolescents kind of like reflect back and try to figure out how exactly they did that or how what exactly actually happened. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but and I'm not so sure you listen to that show, but you do help walk them through and give them tools in order to learn how to make those observations. Is that an accurate assessment?
Mm-hmm. I do that. I try to do that. But I also, I try to not only reflect back, but I really try to anticipate going forward.
Really? So do you have an like a workable example you can kind of describe so we can get our like our sleeves rolled up a little bit?
Sure. So an example for maybe a risk-taking teenager who maybe in the past has violated their parents' trust on a pretty consistent basis.
Okay.
And is now beginning to regain trust, partly because they've been grounded for 6 months and they haven't had any freedom and they can't use their cell phone and they're not allowed to socialize. But let's just suggest that this kid has been doing their work and I have convinced the parents to begin to let the leash out a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And let's say I have a reasonable relationship with this individual, and the teenager comes to me and starts talking about wanting to sneak out and
mm-hmm.
assuming they're not going to get caught and assuming that nothing bad can happen because they don't see it. They're just like, I want to go to this party. I'm not asking my parents. I don't think they're going to say yes, so I'm just going to sneak out and lie.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't think that they're going to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really – it's barely a decision for them. So one of the things that I do is say is help them to notice the progress they've made in the relationship with their parents and how they got to this point.
And how do you do that?
I will stop them and say, hold on a second. Let's think about where things were and how you got grounded in the first place. Let's think about maybe how you and mom and dad have been able to talk lately. And let's look at how they are letting you have more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that feel? And do you like it? I try not to use how does that feel because it's kind of a shrinky question. But I do want them to notice how it feels to not have such a contentious relationship with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we've reflected on how it feels where things are now, then we will play out a whole bunch of different scenarios. So I will say to them something along the lines of, okay, this is an example of a potentially risky action that you might take.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids are not good at recognizing things that could get them into trouble in the future. They're just not good at that. And kids with ADHD are even less good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So then we'll say, okay, and I always play that it goes well the first time. So we always play out, okay, so you organize things with your friends really well, and it goes really, really well, and you sneak out and you have a good time in the party, and nobody gets arrested, and the police don't come to the house, and nobody gets drunk, and nobody smokes pot that's bad for, you know, and I'll play it all
yep,
out.
Yep.
It goes well. But now you come home and you're holding on to that secret. If that feels okay with you, then blah, blah, blah. And then I'll help them, you know, I'll say to them, okay, but let's say something went wrong. And I'll help them to generate some thoughts of the things that can go wrong. And I will, of course, fill in the blanks or help get them started. Because what we're doing is brainstorming. I want them to be able to think more flexibly about things.
Uh-huh.
So I want them to be able to identify a problem situation before it happens. I want them to be able to brainstorm a whole bunch of possible outcomes that could happen. And then I want them to estimate the likelihood that something could go wrong and how severe the consequences could be if they do this.
Wow.
And then after, and we do it, and it's kind of fun because they are like, oh, I never thought of it that way. And they really don't. And then I don't make the decision for them. Obviously, they walk out of my office, and it's fully up to them what they decide to do. But now, at least, they are in the know.
Yep.
And they can make an informed decision. And then when they come back the next time, I'll ask how it went, reflect on it. Did you go to the party? How did it go? Did you not go? Did you end up asking your parents? You know, there's so many different ways to deal with those situations, but these kids don't even know it's a potential problem.
So, Kirsten, I'm going to ask you a question. You're a psychologist, and you're learning to be a coach. I'm a coach, and she's a psychologist. And what's interesting, what I like about what Wendy's doing here, because I'm interested in your comments as kind of like a foot in both places, is so much in coaching is with those with ADHD is that they need like a template, and they need to kind of like think their way through. And Wendy's asking questions in this process to kind of create some awareness of what's going on in a safe environment to kind of help the adolescent or kind of teen kind of go through this. So she kind of anchors the best possible scenario. Then she asks about what's possible if it didn't necessarily kind of go wrong and allows the teenager to kind of discover this a little bit. And it sounds to me like it's, I mean, if done right, it's kind of no pressure. It's a real fun situation. And the teen can really kind of go back into my original comment, is Wendy's helping them exercise their executive functioning skills, which they're not accustomed to using themselves in a way that's kind of more positive to help them kind of discover really kind of what makes a lot of sense. Now, Wendy, I'm going to ask you to comment on my comments too, but Kirsten, from your perspective of kind of having a foot in both places, do you want to kind of wrap that up? Am I off base here, or what do you think?
Well, I think, I mean, it's a great start for these kids, and, you know, learning that there are things that they're missing is what it sounds to me, Wendy, like you're doing with them, which is, you know, telling them, did you ever consider that, you know, well, this is what you're playing in your head, there are other possibilities. And so just rehearsing that with them to make them start recognizing that their first thought is not always the only thought.
Mm-hmm.
Is a great start for getting practicing some of those executive skills.
Wendy, we need to go to break for a second, but you want to make any comments on what I had said before we come back?
I'm good.
All right. Before we go, Wendy, run to a break real quick. For anybody who has questions for you, wants to learn a little bit more, your email address and the best website to go to, and can you share that with everybody?
Sure. My email address, the easiest one, is Dr. Rice, no dots or anything, at ricepsychology.com. And my website is www.ricepsychology.com.
And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Hey. Hey, you.
Are you the parents of a child with ADHD? Does your child need successful task completion structures? We are Hey You, and we make routines fun and easy.
It's time to rise, so open your eyes.
Go to heyyouadhd.com and download our task completion programs today.
Shake it up. Shake it up. Move our body around.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Dr. Wendy Rice, and we're talking about how do you help kids who don't think. Before the break, we were kind of framing this out a little bit, and I think Wendy did a good job of giving an example of how she kind of leads people through this process. Wendy, I, a plug and a question. I did an Attention Talk video interview with Jody Sleeper Triple, who runs a coach training program in Virginia that's going to air on January the 14th. And one of the questions I was posing to her, are all teens coachable? Now, that's from a coaching perspective. And the But I'm going to switch it. The gist of the question is are all teens receptive to this type of a thing? And I'm kind of interested in your comments on that.
No. They're definitely not. Part of my job is to well, work with those who are receptive and then do what I can to help those who are less receptive become more receptive, or even coach parents on how to, so I can serve as a consultant to parents who may then be able to help their kids by extension.
Mm-hmm.
But kids, this is a bit effortful, and I have to get some buy-in from them. So sometimes a teenager who may not be interested initially, I can sell it a little bit to say, what would it be like if you had a better relationship with your parents? What would it be like if you could stay out of trouble a little bit more? Is that something that you are interested in?
I could not agree more with what you said in my experience. And when Jody's, our interview with her is as similar as there's some kids that don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's made up. I'm not really doing anything. And I think it's kind of key that you're honest with everybody, Wendy, because to a certain extent, some kids aren't, but I'm hearing sort of period of time you can actually try to affect them. But some of them who just are obstinate about it just aren't going to do it. Some of them are in the gray area, and it takes a little bit of time. Some of them are very receptive to it. At least that's my experience. Would you agree?
I would agree, and I think it's so very frustrating for parents when they have a teen who isn't receptive at all, and the parents just feel so helpless and frustrated. And sometimes, at least at Ray Psychology, we try real hard to then work with the parents and support them so that they can continue to parent the kids as well, you know, as well as they can.
Absolutely. Do you find that kids sometimes are more receptive to you than their parents just because you're not a part of the parenting process?
Mm-hmm. And I let them know, you know, my stake in it is that I want to do my job and I want to be useful to them, but that, you know, it's up to them. And it's so different to be talking to somebody who isn't your parent. I don't really have any say, in a sense. And I think
Wendy,
that makes me safer.
I have a question. I'm just looking at some of the notes from you and from your conversation with Jeff, and the examples so far have really been about, you know, defying your parents or another adult. But for teenagers, whether they have ADHD or not, their peer group is so important to them. It's, you know,
mm-hmm.
parents at that point usually are the enemy, and, you know, they hate the rules and all that, whereas their peers are really exciting, and, you know, that's who they're trying to figure out their identity, so it becomes part of that. How do you work with that pull for them to try and be part of a peer group and not see their parents as, you know, these authoritarian, horrible people? So that they can weigh that, because really that what that represents is the long-term outlook for them. You know, if they can abide by some rules and think about consequences rather than just the fun and belonging.
Right. I think that I try to, at the beginning of the process, say, look, my goal is for you to have as much fun as you can, have as much freedom as you can, and you've got to have friends. And belonging to a peer group or just having one or two friends is so important that I think I let them know from the outset that that's, you know, if that's what they want for themselves, then that's very much what I want for them, in
mm-hmm.
essence. And I struggle with what you're talking about a little bit because I don't want them to identify me as a parent-like figure who is just
mm-hmm.
Debbie Downer and
yep.
going to, you know, blow it all. So I do the very best job I can do with valuing the input that they bring to me from their friends and valuing the sensible things that these kids say, because every once in a while they'll come out with something that's really wise and really sensible. And
mm-hmm.
as long as it's their idea, you know, sometimes they'll say, you know, well, I'm not really sure about this. My friends want to do it. I'm not really sure. And then we go with that. And I want to try to strengthen whatever innate urges they have in the direction of thinking rationally, if that's any help.
That makes all
the
sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of it is, too, I would have to think, is that hanging out with your parents and following the rules is kind of boring.
Right, but they're
say.
Your ticket. But your parents are your ticket because your parents are paying for things. Your parents are driving you places. Your parents are your ticket. So in addition
to... But how
do
you replace excitement of, A, breaking rules, and, B, hanging out with your friends? Because
you
oftentimes,
I think
individuals with ADHD are looking for
Right.
Is that little rush
right.
you're going to get.
Right. And I would say is totally and completely, you need to have the most fun and get the most rush out of life that you possibly can. Let's figure out how you can do that without ending up in jail, without driving your car into a tree. You know, let's figure it out. I'm going to value that.
Mm-hmm.
I love excitement.
What kinds of things do they come up with?
When we do that? Well, you can still go to a bonfire on the beach, you know, and you can still, I mean, of course, skydiving.
I'm living in Maine
mind,
right now, so the thought of that is just wonderful.
Well, hey, you know, for two people in Florida, that's all we, you know, that's what we got on our mind right now. Go to the beaches. It's a great weather for it.
Right. You know, and maybe what I'm going to say to them is, you know, I can't, how can you be on the edge and stay on this side of the law? Whether it's your parents' law, and I, you know what, I don't have a really good example to offer you right now, and
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you can't. You can't. Like, so if you are only going to get a rush from shoplifting, or you're only going to get a rush from doing dangerous drugs, then I'm probably going to say I'm not sure that we can match that. But what else can you do in your life that gives you tremendous pleasure, that gives you a huge adrenaline rush? And you know, I can't offer it for any one person, but some people could get it if they run in a race or in a marathon. You know, everybody has to find it for themselves. But if your only rush and risk is about being bad, well, then in the short run you're going to get a whole lot. But then I'm going to say, all right, then where are you going to end up? So I kind of end up being the voice of reason there, but I'm going to brainstorm with them as much as possible because I want them to take risks and have fun.
So at the end of the day, one of the things that I'm hearing you say through this process when you're dealing with them is you're trying to meet with them, take the pressure off a little bit, ask them questions, and help them begin to use their executive function you bring to think through these things a little bit before as opposed to just I don't know answer and then moving on to the next thing and just
right.
kind of ignoring that space.
Right. I want them to do a little thinking and a little reflecting and live somewhat more mindfully, pay attention to their lives a little bit, pay attention to their choices, pay attention to themselves.
I just left a session with a teenager who doesn't have ADHD, but it's so funny because I was thinking, with most teenagers, and as you pointed out earlier, especially with kids who have ADHD, I think that there are, they need help with the executive function to give more details when you ask a question, but sometimes parents get so tired that they don't even bother to ask another question. So, you know, teenager, I wanted to know how a visit went with her dad, and she said, oh, it was fine, and then she was going to go on to the next thing.
I want more. That's what I say.
She was so off balance from that because I think, again, people just get used to, okay, she's just going to be a difficult teenager. I won't bother.
But here's another thing. Sometimes if they offer a little, then they're afraid the parents are going to keep asking.
Yes.
And they don't want to share that much because they want to keep it to themselves.
Right.
I can't help but to throw this in there, and I'm not so sure this will help for, this is from the minority, not the majority, but I remember interviewing Elaine Taylor Kloss at Impact ADD one time on four tips. So on Tension Talk video, and she said when the teen kind of comes to ask them about their day and say, well, now what? And then now what? And then now what? You kind of keep asking those questions on a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. Some kids will keep responding to more details about a particular situation as opposed to just moving on to the next topic. And I just thought of that there because it was, I'm not so sure, everybody's a little different, but it's just a neat little tip to if your teen's asking those questions and you don't say, well, now what? Now what happened? What was the detail? Give me some more information.
Mm.
Wendy, I need to run to another break real quick. Again, can you share with everybody your email address and web address?
Sure. It's Dr. D.R. Rice, R-I-C-E, at ricepsychology.com is my email, and my website is www.ricepsychology.com.
And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got Dr. Wendy Rice in the house in our virtual studio, and we're talking about how do you help kids who don't think. And Dr. Rice, this has been a fascinating show to me. It's validated a few things, and there's a few things that are new. And I'd like to try to summarize a little bit of what, in a context that I've learned, and maybe have you adjusted or corrected. Many of those with ADHD, particularly when they're teens, you got to use the executive functioning brain to be able to think through some of the details of what happened and really kind of analyze it. But, and I specialize in adults and teens. I mean, I work with some college students, but even in that arena, they haven't had a lot of experience and they're not used to reflecting back on some of this stuff. And a lot of what you do is ask some questions to kind of help them, to kind of guide them through their executive function to override the automatic system, if you will, to begin to see, oh, if I think about this, this is where I am. These are what the consequences can be. And let's brainstorm with the different options so that they're a little bit in choice. And what I like about it is you're asking the questions as a participatory thing so that they begin to do that in a kind of a safe environment by giving and also giving kind of a template and kind of guiding them through. Certainly it helps a little bit being a non-parental body on some of this stuff. But I see a real benefit to that as a synopsis. Is that accurate, or is there anything like you'd like to add, or do you think I'm missing the point a little bit?
No, I think you've pretty much got it, although I eventually try to do it without asking so many questions, because when you just fire questions at kids, it bothers them.
Certainly. Now, and the other thing that I think is kind of cool is I asked you point blank, you know, are all kids receptive to this, and you said no, and it was interesting. We did a show with Dr. Robbins a couple months ago on defiant children and oppositional defiant disorder and stuff as a result of that. And what was interesting from that show, and we're going to do a part two of that, everybody, at some point in time, but what I took away from that is when it comes to that relationship between a parent and a child, when they're defiant, it's a little bit of the child and a little bit of a parent kind of like looking at their style a little bit and saying, can I do this a little bit better? Ooh, you said uh-huh. You want to expand on that a little bit?
So much of dealing with an oppositional child is changing how you as an adult, teacher, or parent interact with them. And you can enact tremendous change by showing the child some empathy. One of the things I most like to teach parents to do is stop. It's sort of what you do, Jeff, is when somebody talks, you say, it seems like you're saying blah, 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 or let me make sure I understand you. So kids don't feel heard and understood, and half the time parents probably aren't heard or understood. But if our concern is the kids, the best gift that we can give to kids, I think, is to help them to feel understood. Mm-hmm. So if a child is upset or a teen with ADHD or just a kid is upset, one of the best things a parent can do is say, let me see if I understand what you're trying to say to me. Because first, if you can come to that common ground, and maybe even it really makes you mad. So I hear you saying blah, 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 and I can tell that you're furious with me about that. Do I have that straight? And then if the child can say, yes, you understand me, then they have a point of unity or togetherness to solve this problem from. So that is just one of the greatest things that a parent can do for a child who has oppositional tendencies.
You said something there that I just want to highlight. What are you trying to say? in my experience, that's huge. There's so many times when people say some things and they use words and they're misinterpreted, and asking that question, what is your message, describe in detail? What are you trying to convey to me? How I should feel as a result of that can be very revealing in that communication process.
Right, and it so can, because oftentimes, especially with kids, is they're not saying what they mean, or they're having a hard time, and so the message they're the message they think they're sending is not the message that is being received.
And I correct me if I'm wrong here. In my experience in working with adults, many of them talk out loud. They ramble on for a period of time because part of communication is organizing your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't get it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to go back and like, well, I didn't really mean this. I really meant that. And they can edit it, gives them that structure, if you will, to kind of make those adjustments, because organization is not necessarily easy. They get random thoughts, and to string them together in a fashion they want to convey, they don't necessarily get it right the first time. By asking that question, it gives them the opportunity to revise it.
And parents need to know that. Parents need to know that it's okay to give your kids a chance to edit. And parents need to know that sometimes it may not come out right the first time. And just because they said it out loud doesn't mean that it's so.
Mm-hmm.
And so if parents can be, kind enough to give kids the do-over or to let them work on it or refine their message, it's wonderful.
Awesome. Well, Wendy, I appreciate you. This has been great. I appreciate you coming on the show again, everyone out there. Wendy, you want to give you a website and email address again?
Sure. It's my email is Dr. Dr. Wendy Rice. No, that's not right. Oh, I apologize for that. It's Dr. Rice, Dr. Rice at ricepsychology.com. And my website is www.ricepsychology.com. There was my distractibility.
I want to give a plug. For those in the Tampa Bay area, Wendy is very involved in the community. She's also very involved with the ADHD Parent Support Group. They changed their name. I hope I kind of got that right. I know she's given a couple presentations there locally, so particularly if you're in this area, reach out to her. I've seen her present. I haven't seen her work with kids because it's confidential, but I have a lot of respect for her, and I just want to thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Jeff. That was really nice. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Kirsten, as always, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Have a great night. And thank you again, Wendy, for coming
on. Thanks, Kirsten. It was great meeting you.
With that,
you
everybody,
too.
Thank you again for coming on. And next week, catch us for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.